Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, we let him sleep in a little bit because it was a late trade. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy at Wanaka Country Club right now for the 100 holes. If you'd like to donate, search 100 holes, and then there's a search bar right there for Jeremy's page if you want to donate to his individually. Paul, was that the late trade? It's not uncommon. It's happened in the league, right, where you get a trade at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
I've had it happen, yes. And where were you? I was trying to call you at 1 o'clock in the morning saying, all right, what time am I on?
I do not have my ringer on at 1 o'clock. Sal does. Sal woke up to it.
You could have called me. I would have woke up. Sal, I would have been mad at you for calling me, but I would have woke up.
Oh, I knew I'd be hearing from you folks before when I went to bed. I go, yep, they'll be calling. Although, this time I was up by now since it's 9 o'clock.
When
Reinhardt, and it wasn't even announced then. We were down at the arena. That was 1 a.m. when we knew Reinhardt had been traded, but we didn't get the official word until the next day. Mm-hmm. When Danny Briere became a Buffalo Sabre, I got a call from the Sabres at 12:45, which was the same time they announced this trade on Twitter. So I had gotten at the same time a 12:45 call. I believe Briere played for the Coyotes that night. And that's one of the reasons why they waited on it. So it's not the first time I've gotten notification like that, but it certainly does not happen very often.
I remember being on the air that night for it was the NHL draft, right?
Yeah.
For draft coverage when Reinhardt gets traded, and thinking why, because there was a long period of time between when it was reported and when it was announced. And we were, I mean, you know how it is, Paul. Like, you're in day two of draft coverage. And you only know so much about the prospects. So instead, we went off on a scavenger hunt to figure out why the trade wasn't announced. And we were looking up, like, Finnish players from Florida that might not be awake yet. Like, oh, they haven't announced it because this guy's still asleep in Finland. I think Lundell was actually the player that might have ended up being pretty nice. But
speaking
anyways.
Of NHL draft coverage, we will have all that for you starting Friday night. 7 p.m., Brian Colzio and Brayton Wilson will anchor our coverage. Paul will obviously be on site down at One Bills Drive. We'll have Zach Jones anchoring coverage from back here as well, with making sure that you have any news, breaking news, things like that that's going on digital and social. Zach, Paul, Evan DePasquale, everybody on hand here at WGR. All right, Paul, you've said many times, hey, listen, it's not scoring, it's defense. This team needs... they have to be better there. They got a guy that's going to help on the blue line. But they did it by giving up a top six forward who's a goal scorer, a 23-year-old, and we know everything that's been surrounding J.J. Paterka. So how do you evaluate this trade?
Well, I think the basic problem is here, and it's still a problem here, is that the Sabres are still in this position 6 years into a regime that players want out. And then they are forced to trade players. You're not really in a position of great power when you're forced to trade somebody. And it just keeps happening that players want out. And that, to me, is the problem. That we're still, the Buffalo Sabres are still in a position where players want out. And then they're forced to trade them. I think Kesserling is a good defenseman, and I saw every game he played for Team USA that won the gold medal, teammates with Tage Thompson. I thought he was excellent in that tournament. He is what they need. He's big. He's strong. He's not afraid to get mix it up. I don't think he needs a team meeting to tell him to arrive when one of his players gets laid out. You know, I think he, and what I, as I learned more about him and read more about him last, and, you know, I've seen him play also, he was developed the right way. He's 23 years old. He has spent time in the American Hockey League to get his development, and now is starting at 23 years old to become a good NHL defenseman. Of course, a right-handed shooting defenseman. And remember when Rasmus Ristolainen was traded, and I was floored that the Sabres got a number one pick out of it. And it was simply because right-handed defensemen in the NHL are hugely valued, hugely overvalued, you might say, in Rasmus Ristolainen's case. And teams covet them. It's something the Sabres need. This fills a need that the Sabres have. Doan, I basically envision him riding shotgun with Beck Malenstein. You now have two holes, in my opinion, in your top six forwards. I thought you had one anyway because I just don't think Zach Benson should be in the top six. He doesn't produce as a top six. And I thought you needed one there. Now you need a second one. But I think you've also filled a hole on your defense because I think Kesserling is to a point now in his career where he can play in your top four for, and be a right-handed shot defenseman and maybe be that guy that can grow up with Owen Power and help him. I don't object to them getting Kesserling, but, you know, where the real problem is, it's not, well, they got a horrible return if that's how people feel about it. It's that they're even having to trade a player like Paterka at all, that a young player like that already wants out to go with Eichel, to go with Reinhardt, to go with, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, all these people that want out. And you shouldn't be 6 years into trying to rebuild a team and having guys still like, I want out of here.
Paul, you mentioned a couple of times there, talking like the Sabres had to trade Paterka. Do you feel like they, because listening to like Friedman a couple of times in the last week has been saying the Sabres do not want to trade Paterka, but they're listening, and if it would take an offer that, I forgot the exact wording he used. I keep using blow your socks off. I don't think it was that strong, but basically the Sabres, they won't do it unless there is an offer that really forces them to. Does that feel like what happened here to you? Do you feel like they traded Paterka because they felt like they just had to move him? Or do you think these two players for Kesserling, that's why I got to do it?
I think they like Kesserling. I think they should like Kesserling. But I don't think it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's the trade right there. I think it got to a point of no return. I think they wanted to keep him. I think they were holding out hope that he would change his mind or his agent would change his mind and that they could convince him that this is the place to be. But it sometimes gets to a point where you're like, well, it's not happening. He's not going to change his mind, and we're going to have to get rid of him. Do you want a pouting J.J. Paterka on your team all year long? I mean, because you didn't trade him this year, how much does that help? And let's be honest too. I've been reading, you know, people, some are disappointed the Sabres didn't get the fourth overall pick. Are you kidding me? They didn't get the fourth overall pick for Eichel or Reinhardt. J.J. Paterka is not getting you the fourth overall pick.
I think there's a sentiment that maybe people thought they could have swapped picks 4 and 9.
Yeah, maybe.
Trade up 5 picks.
Right.
Maybe, but you still have to remember that J.J. Paterka is not a complete player in the NHL. Mm-hmm. He's not just, well, he's not very good in his own end. He's horrendous in his own end, and numbers will bear that out. I mean, he does not have good numbers at all, and I've had folks tell me who are heavy into analytics that the Sabres are better off without him, with as bad as he is defensively.
But this is part of
it's hard to ignore 55 goals in 2 years, but you know when you're how many if you know you're not holding your weight at the other end. Now that, Sal, is also something he can fix.
Right.
If he wants to.
That's part of the
really
issue
wants
I have.
To work at it.
He's 23, Paul. Like, we've seen guys. What do we hear about Mitch Marner forever? And yet, he's getting Selke votes, right? Whether it's justified or not to some people, he is. We've heard this about. And look, I'm feeling better about this trade as the morning goes on. I'll be honest with you. I really am. I'm liking a lot of the things I'm hearing about Kesselring and what he can do. No doubt about it. But he's 23, he's an ascending player, and all these things that about not being good in his own end. Guy's mature. I'm watching Sam Bennett run around the ice with the cup, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy's been in the league 11 years. Look how long it took him to get to the player that everyone thought that maybe he could be someday.
Well, Sal, the Sabres, I obviously felt that way because they wanted to keep him.
Yeah. What do you think about the contract? Well, I'll ask you that. What do you think about the contract he signed? If you woke up this morning, if you got the alert that said the Sabres signed J.J. Paterka to 5 years, 7.7, Paul, what would have been your reaction?
I would have been fine with that. I was thinking low sevens maybe. So that it got into the high sevens would not have shocked me. He would be making more than Tage Thompson, but Tage Thompson signed a contract a couple of years ago, and values go up. You know, when you sign a contract, I mean, look at what Alex Tuch is making. Well, at the time, it probably didn't seem like, well, you're getting screwed here. But, you know, with the production that they've gotten from Alex Tuch, it's been a bargain for the last couple of years because contracts change as go up. So, no, I wouldn't have said that was ridiculous. I was kind of thinking that's about where it would land. Not quite there, but about where that would land. And goal scorers do get paid. I mean, Jeff Skinner got $9 million. Jeff Skinner never did figure out the defensive zone, you know, but he did score 40 goals 1 year. So if you're getting a guy who scores 40 goals, maybe you can forget about, the other part of it. So, no, you're absolutely right, and I think the Sabres agree with you also. That's why they wanted to keep him, they felt that he's going to be able to figure it out. But when you're looking at what you got coming back, you got to talk about what is, not what could be maybe. And what is right now is he is a liability in his own end. But you're right, that can change, and that's up to him. He can change it.
Yeah. As we figure out, too, Paul, like how this happened, you tell me like where I should land on this, because I – like the 5 years, $7.7 million. I woke up this morning after seeing the trade and seeing the destination, wondering more if money was at all a part of the. Adam's talking the other day about how you can't make a guy happy just by paying him. So thinking about like, oh, I wonder, were the Sabres willing to go there? Was there a contract where Paterka would have said, okay, I'm in with the Sabres? Because, and again, the source of that for me is where he ended up going. He didn't go to a big market. He didn't go to L.A. He didn't go to New York. He didn't go to a perennial winner. He didn't go to Carolina. He didn't go to Tampa. He went to Salt Lake City and a group of players that's missed the playoffs 11 of 12 years. So, like, or is it just that it's that bad here that Utah is now, like, a much better destination than Buffalo is?
I think that's an accurate statement. But, you know, his agent, anytime you heard, or a lot of the time when you heard where he might land, it's all, you know, New York Rangers, even the incorrect report at the trade deadline, New York Rangers, you know, and that to me is the agent feeding it, you know, that's, but the agent or anybody else, he has no trade protection. So Sabres could trade him wherever they wanted to trade him. And, Utah is looking to improve in their goal scoring, and they're, you know, they have salary cap space that they can do it. So, you know, that's where it wound up as far as that went. So it didn't surprise me where it went. But again, you know, Utah wasn't a heavy rumored place for him to go. That's, again, why, you know me, I just don't, you know, like to pay a lot of attention to rumors. But, you know, it was that's where he wound up. And
yeah.
Yeah, they were never on the rumor card.
That's what I mean. Like, all I guess I'm trying to figure out is like, how did it end up being Utah for him? Like, what ended up being Paterka's real motivation when he didn't choose like one of the top because again, the Sabres could have traded him wherever they wanted, but he didn't have to sign wherever he chose to be there for 5 years. So was it the money? Was it the city? Was it You know, is it just that that team
is Lindy Ruff?
Is it? Well, that's another good question. Is it coaching? Is it?
Is it anywhere, but
it could have been. I'll just go anywhere, but here.
Lindy Ruff publicly talked about how you know Paterka's poor defensive play, and players, a lot of players don't like that to be publicly called out. And we had mm-hmm. talked about this. I don't know. Within the last week, I think I talked to you both about it. Is it possible that Paterka and his agent don't want to deal with the Sabres anymore because they're at an impasse mm-hmm. in the contract negotiation? Is that the reason he wants to be traded? We don't know. Is it Lindy Ruff? Is it he doesn't believe in the organization? Is it the losing? We just don't know what his problem is, and we'll have to see at some point if he ever addresses it.
I have a bit of a...
you're right. I mean, it's certainly right to speculate it's possible, but then my thought is, why were they trying so desperately to convince him that he wants to be a Sabre, knowing how much it was going to cost them to keep him?
Right.
I'm with Joe where it's like not a disagreement type with Joe, but I agree. Like when Joe's wondering, we hear all this stuff about big market, and then he gets moved to Utah. No, to me, it was money. This is money. Like, that's what I come down to. I think it's money. I don't think the Sabres wanted to pay him that kind of money. We all say we would have done it. And I have a theory, Paul. I have a theory here. Mm-hmm. This contract he signs very much screams like an offer sheet type of contract. I think the Sabres knew an offer sheet was coming. Maybe Utah told them, hey, we're going to give him an offer sheet. And the Sabres are like, well, guess what? We don't want to pay him that, but we don't want a first, second, and third round pick. So you know what? Let's just make a deal. And I think that this is what this feels like to me.
It doesn't to me, just because I just think offer sheets don't happen all that often. And you know, first of all, you have to have your own picks. Like, you have to have your own number one, you have to have your own number two, and you have to have your own number three, you know, to be able to make that, you know, that type of an offer. And I'm just checking right now, and Utah does not have, do they?
The picks that needed for the...
I'm looking right now.
Where the money
is. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah,
they do?
It just feels to me like something like that. I mean, remember back in the day when the Bills put the franchise tag on Peerless Price, but they did it only because they knew, hey, we'll just, instead of going through this process, we'll do that, and then we'll make a deal with somebody, right? That happens. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it feels to me like maybe, hey, they kind of knew this was coming. Maybe Utah made it known and said... Like we've been saying, Paul, we don't want prospects back for the Sabres. I don't think that's what they want. They want to get better. Hey, you know what? Instead of having him go somewhere, we don't want to pay him the money, but we don't want the prospects. We don't want the picks. Let's make a deal here. You want him? Give us a couple players that we can use.
Yeah, but
there's a difference, though, between a team telling you they're going to do it and then them actually doing it. Correct. You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
It's a little bit of, okay, you're going to offer sheet him? Well, I'll wait. Let's see if you actually offer sheet him.
That's right.
You could do that.
And Friedman saying, you know, that the Sabres definitely don't want to trade him and doing everything they can to try to make sure that that doesn't happen, you know, wouldn't say that the Sabres weren't willing to pay that. I don't know. And as I said, we've already speculated within the last week that is that the problem? Is there an impasse in what we're talking about that, you know, they decided that, well, you know, we have to trade him because there's not – or the I'm sorry, the Paterkas decided that, well, he needs to be traded because it's just not going to happen. By the way, Utah does not have their own first-round pick.
Okay.
So they could not offer sheet him.
I guess there goes my theory.
Because the Bruins would have been if you invert the standing, it's San Jose, Chicago, Nashville, Boston, and Utah has the fourth pick.
Okay.
That's not their pick.
Paul, now that Paterka is traded, and you mentioned earlier, and we actually talked about this the other day, that now it feels like there are two holes in the Sabres' top six. Do you feel like whatever they trade Bo Byram for, assuming they do make that deal eventually, it's more imperative now than it was before that like they got to get a forward back in that deal?
Yeah. I mean, we already thought that they needed a top six forward. Zach Benson, I like his game. It's not that I don't like his game and the way he plays, but if you're in the top six, you have to produce. And right now at his age and you know the way his body is right now, he doesn't produce. You need guys in the top six that produce. So to me, you already had a hole there, and now you've got a second hole there. You have filled the hole maybe you were looking for on defense, But, you know, now you need a couple of top six forwards. In my mind, you need two. You need more than one. So you have other assets. I mean, you could maybe take your ninth pick and with a couple of prospects or whatever, you can get one that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe get one in the Byram trade. So there are other ways they can go about to get what they need there. They felt like they got what they needed on defense, right? I mean, he's exactly what they've been talking about that they want. You know, a right-handed shooting defenseman who's big, who's strong, who brings something to the table nobody else on that defense brings. And that's, you know, what they got there. So, all right, you've filled that, but you've left a hole here. So, I mean, now you've got to go fill that hole because, you know, if you're going to make the playoffs, you can't have all these holes that you have. And so that's, I think, what they're still going to have to do. And, of course, free agency could maybe, you know, come into that picture too. But then you run into what you ran into here. Well, the Sabres keep losing, and they keep losing badly. And here we are again where the Buffalo Sabres have to, you know,
trade one of their best players to a team that didn't exist like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I said Utah doesn't have their pick. Yes, they do. They won the lottery.
They're in the lottery.
I mean, and by the way,
I'm
such
that.
An idiot that it just hit me. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We're sitting here talking off the cuff and
I also want to make
things up.
Careful, I also want to make a point.
Josh is smiling for potential open use in the future.
I also want to make a point here of the offer sheet thing. If you do sign a player to an offer sheet, the picks wouldn't come until the following year. You can't because it's after the draft, right? July 1st would be, you know, you offer sheet season, right? So it's not this year's pick anyway.
Yeah, you have to have your first round pick next year.
And by the way, Utah does have that, and they do have their first, second, and third for the next several years. So they could. That's independent. It doesn't matter. Anyway, just a theory I had, but go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to correct that.
You got it.
All right. Draft tomorrow. We haven't really talked about the draft much at all, Paul, but there's been things that have caused us to, you know, push that off to tomorrow. So we'll talk about the draft tomorrow. So thanks for being on, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Well, maybe we can talk about a trade tomorrow, too.
Or there'll be a trade tomorrow we'll talk about.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Paul.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Highline. Speaking of the draft, we have time for your phone calls, but we'll have a few minutes coming back to talk with Stephen Ellis from Daily Faceoff to get a quick scoop on kind of the draft early on tomorrow and also what the Sabres are looking at number 9. So that plus your phone call. So if you hang on hold, we'll get to you coming up in the next segment. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio here.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here on WGR.
For me, it's Kirill Kaprizov and Kucherov, those two guys. I do know they are both wingers, but you know, I think what they do on the ice I can relate to in a lot of ways. The way they drive themselves offensively, their playmaking ability, just stuff when I watch them, I can hopefully see myself like in the future.
Michael Misa, who's expected to be the second pick tomorrow, he said with a question mark. I'm sorry, I gotta click my draft brain back on because we've been talking so much Paterka this morning. Anyways, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Sal is in to the Western Hotline. Stephen Ellis of Daily Faceoff. I mean, this is why we have Stephen on. Second pick, right, Stephen, for Misa?
Yeah, I would be shocked if it wasn't. There's been a lot of talk about Frundell at two, but Misa at number two, I would be fully expecting that.
Gotcha. So before we get into some of the draft talk, the trade from overnight, Paterka to Utah for Michael Kesselring and Josh Doan. Your immediate takeaway, Stephen, when you saw that trade, did you feel like Sabres didn't get enough value back for a player? Because it's kind of been our reaction here the whole morning.
I was sitting with a few other reporters, and we're all sitting there like jaws to the floor, like, seriously? That was it? Like, great. I like Kesselring a lot. I think he's a pretty underrated defenseman. He when he was in Arizona and then Utah, he just continued to get better. Like, he reminded me almost of like kind of how Mackenzie Weegar started his career, where he was more of just a set down defenseman, but given more opportunities with the puck, and then he kind of started to figure out. With Josh Stone, I've never been a Josh Stone fan. So that's where sort of that thing kind of falls off for me. So tough one to see the Paterka tenure end that way, but I'm surprised that's all it took.
Steven Ellis with us on the Western Hotline. Uyghur. If he becomes Uyghur, I'd be happy, but right. Well, that's a pretty high bar to set. Ellis covering the NHL draft tomorrow in LA. It's decentralized, so we'll have coverage from One Bills Drive where the Sabres will be set up. So the top of the draft, Steven, as we start to preview it a little bit here, what level of number one pick are we talking about with Matthew Schaefer, and how unique is he because of him not really playing many games leading into this draft?
I fully expect Schaefer to be in the long-term Norris trophy conversation. Because you watch him play, there's so much Miro Heiskanen in him, and I think he might be better than Miro Heiskanen the way that he thinks the game. So, you know, is he a Macklin celebrity? Obviously not. Is he Connor Bedard? No. So he hasn't received that type of hype, and defensemen never do. But I think when people start to see what he's capable of against NHL players, they're going to be so impressed with his talent level. So he's good. And, you know, like, overall in this draft class, it's like, it's not a great draft class. This is, I'd say, a little better than maybe 22. But, like, if you're drafting in the top 10, there's some decent talent there. But this also feels like the year where if a team is going to trade a pick in the top 10, it's going to happen. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's multiple teams.
What about the Sabres for that? So pick number 9, where the tier breaks might be for a team that wants to move into that spot, maybe for a veteran. I mean, we kind of know, I mean, Kevin Adams said it matter-of-factly earlier in the week that he'd like to trade that number 9 pick. So where do you see the list of prospects around that spot and maybe how valuable it could be for the Sabres if they are trying to get something that'll help them right now?
It feels like if they're going to stay at number 9, they're probably going to take one of the defensemen, whether it be Radim Mirka, the 6'6" Czech defenseman who had a very good end of the season with the Seattle Thunderbirds. Jackson Smith, he's more of the all-around bigger defenseman who at 6'3" can also skate well, but he's got a bit more offensive flair to him. I also like Keshawn Aitchison. I know that's a guy that it feels like the Sabres would probably want to have in the system. He wants to hit everyone. He's kind of a throwback defenseman. So those guys for sure. There's also Victor Eklund, the Swedish winger, who's got a great shot. His brother obviously plays for the San Jose Sharks. Jake O'Brien, the centerman out of Brantford, another one who's kind of maybe more of a smarter player, not super flashy, but he has the ability to pull off some moves if he needs to. So if they hold off the pick, there's still some really good talent. But something just kind of makes me think they'll take one of the defensemen.
Steven, is this a good draft? How does it compare to other drafts, especially maybe in the top 10 because the Sabres are picking 9th?
Yeah, like I like the top 10. I think it's not as good as last year and it's not as good as the year before, but I'd say it's probably on par with what we saw in 22, the year with Logan Cooley and Slafkovsky, Shane Wright. So I'd say it's about there. I think there's more star power in this draft, but it's after that top 10 where things really start to go quiet. Like after like pick 24, 25, it's kind of hard trying to figure out who should go next because the talent level starts to fall off drastically. So yeah, I think teams that are later in the first round and have some assets where they could move into the top 10, it's totally worth it this year. But otherwise, if you're going to be trading this year, or if you're going to trade a pick this year, you're not going to get the same value you would last year or even next year.
Steven Ellis with us on the Western Hotline, Daily Faceoff, covering all things NHL draft. 2 years ago, I remember when the Sabres picked Zach Benson, everybody was, I had this guy ranked, you know, 6th or 7th or 8th, and he seemed to fall a little bit. Is there somebody that is expected to go higher than 9 that you could see dropping, and then that's kind of the sentiment after if the Sabres make a pick where it's, this guy was supposed to go 5th or 6th and ends up falling?
I think the big one for that is James Haggins, and he's kind of a little bit like a Logan Cooley, a little bit like a Jack Hughes, the way he really kind of just thinks the game and moves around the ice and does things like that. And I think he's a top 5 prospect. I think that he's almost underrated because he entered the season as a top prospect, but then he just didn't have an explosive year by any means. Like, if you compare his numbers in his first year of college to Celebrini, it's not even remotely close. Celebrini was that much better. So with Higgins, you know, I don't know if Nashville takes him. I think Philly wants to take a bigger centerman. Would the Bruins trade their pick? Seattle doesn't need another centerman. So there is a possibility that Higgins could fall there. And if he's available, it would take a lot for me, if I'm the Sabres, to not be interested in him. Yeah, he's not a big centerman, but you still got to go for best player available. And I think James Higgins is, I think he's going to have one heck of an NHL career as a potential first-line center.
NHL draft tomorrow night, 7 o'clock is the start of our coverage here on WGR. We're exiting the draft just for a moment here before we let you go, Steven. How do you see the Sabres prospect pool at this point in time? Like, I feel like often we'll mention, like, oh, they've got all these prospects. Is that still true? Like, are they still viewed around the league as a deep or even just a top-heavy prospect pool, or is that starting to fade at all?
Well, I'd say they're definitely not as good as it was even 2 years ago. Like, you look at the fact that, like, Jiří Kubík is obviously now not really a prospect. I like Konstantinov. I think the world of him. I think he's so smart, and I think he could be more of a Anton Lindell-style player. Like, if you're hoping that type of guy he could be, especially after watching him play really well in the playoffs this year. I've soured a bit on Devon Levi, if we're still considering him a prospect, but I don't want to give up on him. I like Isaac Rosine. So there are some good players in this pipeline, but some players have obviously moved up to the NHL, so that's weakened it a bit, and it's definitely not as strong as it was a year or two ago, especially when you trade Matthew Savoy. So that's why I would love to see them keep their pick this year, but at a certain point, they got to stop focusing on the future and start working on actually moving forward.
Sure. And then finally, before we let you go, how do you like it being a decentralized draft to cover? Is it better from your standpoint? There won't be any tweets of this GM got up to go talk to this GM at a different table, I guess. But how do you like the decentralized draft?
It's funny. It doesn't really feel like one right now, considering how many NHL GMs I've been seeing walking around the city here in LA. So
really?
Like, you guys could have just stayed. Well, because the Board of Governors meeting. So it's like, oh, well, you right. guys could have just, you know, stayed here. What a crazy concept. But yeah, so there's that. And then I think we might lack some of the chaos that we would hope for, which kind of sucks. And it's just on a personal note, like not seeing all the media around the league here, which is kind of like the one chance to see everyone. That kind of sucks. So I'm very confident next year we're going to go back to a regular format. And I hope so, because this doesn't feel as special this year.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've seen that too, that they might go back to it. Like, this might be a one-off.
I've never understood it though, Steven. Like, I cover football. I'm the beat reporter for the Buffalo Bills here. And I like the way football does it. I understand that's what I know, right? I get it. But because all of your draft stuff is in this room, is in this facility where you are. Like, they don't sit at a small table and have their notes like we're doing a fantasy football draft in someone's living room. And it's always felt weird to me. So this kind of feels like the way it should be done, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I get it. I think, honestly, the sentiment when I ask, like, scouts around the league, like, why would you want to go back to the normal format? And it's mostly so everyone could just see each other. And teams, like scouts that work against each other can meet up again. It's more of a social aspect, really.
Right.
Because that's like the one thing that the NHL is really special with, is everybody from the league, no matter what, was there. And it felt like a big event. And I think that's, like, the NHL just doesn't have that right now. So, like, not everyone's going to the Cup Final. Not everyone's the Four Nations face-off. So this was the event where everyone comes together again. I think, like, that's something where the teams are going to look at this and say, okay, we'll reverse this.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking of is the difference here as you're talking? Like, Steven, what the draft is for the NHL, like, Sal, that is the owners'
that's
meetings
right.
and
yes.
the combine.
Exactly
the
right.
The owners' meetings yes. and the combine, everybody is at. That's your big reunion for everybody, whereas
100%.
Like, we host the combine here in Buffalo, and that is not everybody in the hockey world showing
that's
up,
exactly
descending
right.
upon. I mean, some people do.
I think that's right. So that's,
I think that's
chance.
The difference.
Yeah, if the NFL didn't have the owners' meetings and the combine and
then
the format,
you might
have people who say, yeah. no, we need to get to the draft.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, anyway, Steven Ellis, the Draft Hub at Daily Faceoff's a good follow heading into tomorrow to keep track of everything that's going on. So appreciate you getting up with us, Steven, and enjoy LA.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for coming on. All right, we have a couple calls that we want to get in here that have been waiting patiently on hold before we get to Extendo Sports. JJ Paterka traded to Utah. If you're most people, what percentage of people are awake by now? 90%? 95%? 99%? I'm not sure. Alex in Orchard Park. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I know there are a lot of people who are really frustrated with the trade last night. And to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of it either. It really does feel like they didn't get enough return for the player that did post 55 goals over two seasons. Where I hesitate to react is that a similar discourse actually occurred last summer when the Sabres traded Matt Savoy, arguably one of their top prospects, for Ryan McLeod, who at the time was on a fourth-line role with Edmonton. And we look at it a year later, and it appears to be pretty even since McLeod posted 53 points, stayed healthy for most of the season, and has shown that he can actually, you know, perform across all four lines. And Savoy, we don't know his true potential yet, but he has a solid year in the AHL, but we have yet to see what he does with Edmonton.
But I'll go a step further on that and say I actually think it's been a good trade for the Sabres because I think Savoy, every chance he's kind of gotten in the NHL, there's a lot of question about, you know, his, you know, his also his defensive play. But you're right. As I will stay consistent here and say, you know, Alex, that, you know, that you can get better in that regard. But I like the trade right now for the McLeod trade, and I'm with you on what I thought about at the time.
So, yeah, and then I know I've been listening all morning to you guys and listening to the other callers, and you guys mentioned that Kesselring is going to be taking on a larger role on the blue line. While he is, I know you guys were saying he's 23. I looked it up. He's 25. But I don't think he'll be garnering first pairing minutes, which will leave him at best being Owen Power's line mate. And I remember during the course of the season, a lot of discussion was around, we need to find Owen Power a line mate. We need to find him a line mate. And is Kesselring going to be that guy? I personally don't think so. And I fear that the Sabres will roll with Kesselring on the same pairing as Power, won't necessarily perform, and then he'll be thrown under the bus, which I think should lead to the question as to whether Owen Power is truly the problem.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I would bet against that, though, because I like Power as a player a lot. And if you look back on his most common partners over his career, I think by a very wide margin, the most minutes played with Power is Henry Jokiharju. So the bar is not necessarily very high to clear for being his partner. I do expect that is who Kesselring will play with. And that'll be 19 to 20 minutes a night, which is a 2-plus-minute increase over what he did in Utah. So, sure, if it went poorly, then maybe we could have a Power conversation, but I wouldn't really expect that to happen. The one key difference I do want to mention, I'm glad you mentioned the McLeod trade, because I saw that a little bit on Twitter. And you're right, there's one similarity, which is, at the time, everybody said, wow, you overpaid to get that player. That is a similarity. There's one key difference. Everyone, at least here, everyone understood the motivation for why you did that.
That's right.
The reason, we all knew they overpaid. They overpaid for Ryan McLeod. Matt Savoy was worth more than that. But we knew why they did it. They did it because you needed to win right now, and you didn't have a third-line center, and this dude was going to be that.
And they had a backlog of prospects.
And you had a surplus.
Somebody had to go. Exactly. You didn't have room.
So, yes, you overpaid. The motivation was understandable. This one, you overpaid to get Ryan Kesselring and Josh Doan. What's the motivation? And do we understand it? I do not think it's the same in that regard at all. Because the more I look at it, the more we've talked this morning, the more that I think they might have just traded him because they didn't want to pay him.
Right? That's the conclusion
and
I kind I'm of sorry, arrived at pretty early.
I am sorry. I'm not understanding of that at all. The same way I would have been last year for why they would have traded for Ryan McLeod. Totally different. Just on that part of it, totally different. 803-0550 is the phone number. Extendo Sports. Mark, if you hang on hold, we'll get you in before we run out of time here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, I got two hockey things for you that are fun, Extendo. First of all, I'm driving yesterday. You and Jeremy are talking about guys that could go to parades. It was really great. It's a great conversation. You're talking about Brett Hall and who he could be like at the parade with, and I'm screaming, Calgary! Calgary!
Calgary.
Calgary. He started his career in Calgary, and I'm like, I got to make sure this is right. So I went back to remember. Brett Hall plays his first 2 years with the Flames. The dude is 23 and is a point-per-game producer, and they trade him to St. Louis.
Yeah.
For Rob Ramage. And,
who I've never heard of.
And Warmly, I believe, was the goalie. They traded him.
Yeah. He only played 57 games, though, you know?
Rick Wormsley.
57 games?
Wormsley. Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy. Like, he was a 23-year-old second-year player, 50 points in 52 games. Like, yeah, I was going to trade you over to St. Louis.
And then he scored 86 goals a couple of years later.
It's exactly right.
Imagine
how about
if
this?
J.J. Paterka scores 86 goals in a couple of years. Sorry, I didn't need to put that in the universe.
He scored 72, then 86, then 70 in three consecutive years.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. So we were talking offer sheets in the break. And you mentioned to me that Joe Sakic had signed an offer sheet in 97. And I'm like, boy, I don't remember that, but let me go look that up.
With the Rangers. I learned there were players in the past that had been offer sheeted I didn't know about. Like Sergei Fedorov got offer sheeted by Carolina. Keith Tkachuk by Chicago. Timu Solani was offer sheeted by Calgary. Again, they signed with these teams. And Sakic with the Rangers. How about that? Sakic, after winning the Cup, I think, signed an offer sheet with the Rangers.
So I ran across this. This is an incredible story that we're going to end today's show on. Pretty funny story. Amazing. I don't know. Weird. The Avalanche, I think, should be sending thank you notes to Harrison Ford. That's right, the actor, Harrison Ford.
Uh-huh.
Because here's the story. This is according to Wikipedia. As a free agent during the summer of 97, Joe Sakic signed a three-year, $21 million offer sheet with the Rangers as an RFA. Now, under the CBA at the time, the Avs had 1 week to match that offer or let Sakic go in exchange for five first-round picks. While it seemed as if the Avalanche could not afford to keep Sakic, as they had already committed large amounts of salary to Peter Forsberg and Patrick Waugh, an unlikely lifeline would appear in the form of a summer blockbuster movie, Air Force One, produced by Avalanche owners Comsat. Its profits enabled the Avalanche to match the offer and instigated salary rise for many NHL players.
That's unbelievable. So Air Force One?
Yes.
Really, they should have sent Harrison Ford a Stanley Cup ring.
Yeah, I know.
Because a couple years later, they win their second cup with Sakic leading the playoffs in points. And he was only still there because of Air Force One. Air Force One, home of the one of the most iconic lines in movie history, which is Harrison Ford with a big boot kicking the guy off the plane. Get off my plane.
Yes.
Great quote. All-time movie quote. Top five, some have said. I'm just kidding. Not really.
It's a good draft someday in the middle of summer.
Movie quote draft?
Movie quote draft. Idea, Mike Shope. Movie quote draft.
Yeah, movie quote draft. They were flirting with, what was the draft they were talking about? Maybe doing in the summer. I don't know. This might be better. I don't know. Mark in Wheatfield, if you stay on hold, you'll be the first up when it comes to the Extra Point Show. Derek and Zach and Josh all hanging out, talking J.J. Paterka, who's been traded to the Utah Mammoth and signed an extension. Be back to talk about it tomorrow morning. Jeremy is on the golf course right now for 100 holes at Wanaka. You can still donate. Go to give.roswellpark.org, and you can search Jeremy's name there, and you can donate. 11-day power play tonight. See you boys on the ice. Going to get Owen a shutout. And hopefully I won't be sore when I come in tomorrow morning from a four-hour hockey game. It's, you know, should be fine. I mean, I'm still young enough.
It's only three. You'll be fine.
Or three, right. Sorry, three-hour games. Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing. All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.